T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Cavaliers are the topic, and not just because it's 5:20 and Chris Fedor is slated here, but because apparently there are rumblings as far as the Cavaliers and maybe some shakeup with the front office. Just season just ends, 22 wins. It was a rough end to the season. Plenty of questions still remain. Kevin Love and progress and development with some of these young guys. Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com, joins us right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. What do you make of the speculation, Chris? And are you surprised if, in fact, that is out there?
What's up, guys?
Hi, Chris.
I don't make a lot of the speculation, to be honest with you. And I'm not surprised that it's out there. It's a Dan Gilbert-run organization. And when you're talking about Dan making the ultimate decision when it comes to anything, I think everybody's constantly on the hot seat. I think he's got to evaluate Kobe Altman at the end of every single season. I think he's got to evaluate J.B. Bickerstaff at the end of every season and determine whether both those guys are the right guys moving forward. And it's very possible because it's Dan. And Dan changes his mind daily when it comes to things, and Dan is very unpredictable when it comes to things. It's very possible that he looks at this situation and determines that Kobe isn't the right GM moving forward, and he didn't do enough to keep his job. And he could determine the same thing when it comes to J.B. Bickerstaff. I think it's just very, very difficult to get a read on Dan because, one, he has been unpredictable in the past. Two, he's been known to be very antsy and trigger happy in the past. And three, you know, he doesn't like to be a guy who sits on his hands and sits by idle, especially as the team heads into an off season that is one of the most important in recent memory.
Chris, we haven't heard a lot from Dan Gilbert. How hands-on is he right now?
Look, I mean, I think the bottom line is when it comes to the Cleveland Cavaliers, the thing that we know for sure is every big decision, Dan Gilbert's going to be involved. Every single one. Even some of the ones that general manager Kobe Altman made throughout the course of this past season. Those don't get made without Dan's input. They don't get made without Dan's say. They don't get made without Dan's approval. So every single big decision, GM, head coach, draft pick, blockbuster trade, Dan's going to be involved. He's always going to be involved.
So, Chris, we're coming off, obviously, the NFL draft where everybody has a grade immediately following. So we're going to put you on the spot here. You know, look, it was a, as you've pointed out many times, we all have, very early in a rebuild. So with that in mind, is there a letter grade right now you would give the Cavs on this 2021 season?
It's interesting, Chico, because somebody asked me the other day, I forget who it was, somebody asked me if the Cavs accomplished everything that they wanted to accomplish this year. And like, I thought about it, and it's like, throughout the course of the season, they tossed in the fact that they wanted to be part of the play-in tournament. And J.B. Bickerstaff even said before the season, guys, that, you know, whatever party the NBA is throwing, however he phrased it, whatever party the NBA is throwing, we want to be invited. That's the only thing that I can really think of that they didn't accomplish that they wanted to accomplish. Like, there were small things throughout the course of the way, for sure, but this was a season about taking small steps and internal growth and putting a foundation in place and things along those lines. And, I mean, my expectations coming into the year might have been different than other people's expectations coming into the year. I picked them to win 23 games, right? Like, I even said at the very beginning, I think one of the first things that I wrote leading into the season is, I'm not going to be the person that judges them based on a win-loss record. I'm not going to be the person that gets bogged down by losing streaks and allows that noise to cloud what I think is happening with the rebuild. So, I mean, look, this might sound generous, but I would give them like a B minus when it comes to this season. And I think it's because you have to me, you always have had to evaluate the individuals independent of the results. And I know that's really, really difficult because everybody looks at the scoreboard and everybody looks at the record and everybody looks at losing streaks. And those things happened. And there's a bunch of stats that you can throw at me, and all those things are true, but I don't know that they're fully accurate. Because the bottom line is, Colin Sexton became one of the most efficient scorers in the NBA at his position. That happened independent of the team record. Right, Darius Garland became one of the best players from the 2019 NBA draft. Isaac Okoro got better and better as the season went on and had his best month in May. And Jared Allen averaged a double-double and looks like a perfect fit in this young core and one of the best young centers in the league. Like, am I supposed to ignore all of that because they went 22-50? I can't.
No.
Because those are the things to me that matter most when evaluating them moving forward, because those four are the players that matter most as you evaluate this thing moving forward.
Chris, you mentioned how Dan Gilbert can be emotional with his decisions, obviously.
Mm.
We've seen it many times. JB Bickerstaff, new coach, is he safe?
Look, nobody's safe when it comes to Dan Gilbert. I'll say that. But I would be stunned if Dan went a different direction following one full season of JB Bickerstaff in the weirdest NBA season that we've had in decades. It was very, very difficult on JB. It was very difficult on other teams around the NBA, that's for sure. The Cavs missed the third most games because of injury, 281 total, an average of 80 more than any other team missed. So, like, you have to factor those things in. And it wasn't just, like, bottom-of-the-roster guys that were missing these games either. We're talking about Kevin Love, Larry Nance Jr., Jared Allen for a stretch, Darius Garland 18, Colin Sexton 13. So, like, big-time important players for this team were missing. On top of that, the Cavs didn't get as much practice as they would normally get because of the compressed schedule. And there was daily testing that required a lot of these guys to get up early or change their routine or whatever the case may be. So I just think there were so many factors attached to this season that if Dan went a different direction after 1 year of JB as a full-time head coach, I mean, sure, he could, because it's Dan and anything is possible. But boy, that would be such a leap. And it's just hard to see him going that way.
Chris, do the Cavs have a basketball brain in their front office right now? And maybe that's a move they could make. Could they add that and keep Kobe Altman?
Sure, I think they could do that. You know, Bernie Bickerstaff is in the front office, and he's a consultant. He's been at a lot of different games. You know, he's in constant communication with Kobe Altman. I think they absolutely could look to try and add a president of basketball operations.
Right.
It's something that I think could help bridge the gap, maybe, between Dan and Kobe. I think it could put the kind of structure in place that would lend itself to more stability and maybe more consistency and maybe more rational thinking. I don't know who that would be, to be perfectly honest with you, when it comes to Dan, but I definitely think it's something they could consider this offseason for sure.
Said something interesting there, Chris, as far as, like, bridging a gap. I mean, is there – I don't want to – obviously, I'm sure that Kobe Altman and Dan Gilbert communicate. Is it safe to assume that right now there's – and especially on the heels of hearing what we just heard today, is it safe to assume that, you know, they're kind of on different ends right now? They're on opposite sides. I mean, how close are they, and are they working together?
Like I said, I mean, every big decision that happens with this organization, Dan is going to be involved in, and Dan has signed off on over the last however many years. And that includes when Coby Altman took over as general manager, and that includes what happened with Kevin Porter Jr. this past year. That includes what happened with Andre Drummond this past year. So Dan's always been involved, and he's going to be involved. I don't know necessarily that I would classify it as they're on opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, I didn't word that well. But, I mean, are they seeing eye to eye enough for this guy to keep his job, I guess, is my question.
I guess we'll find out. That's the thing. I mean, like, rebuilds, in theory, they're difficult, but they're also, like, easy to understand why an organization decides to go the direction that it does, right? But at the same time, like, you have to live the losses, right? Dan Gilbert is dealing with these losses, just like Coby Altman is dealing with them, just like the players are dealing with them. And they can be hard, especially when you're talking about lengthy losing streaks, and especially when sometimes, yes, you do look at a final record and see 22-50. Like, those things can be emotional. And Dan has been known to make emotional decisions throughout his time as chairman of this organization. So, again, I think we're just going to have to wait and see. I don't know that how he thinks today is ultimately how he's going to think in a week or 2 weeks from now or 3 weeks from now, because that's kind of his history, right?
Yep. Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com, joining us, covers the Cavaliers, does a great job. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris Fedor. All right, so we haven't discussed this at all this year. Kevin Love, next year, he's due $60 million over the next 2 years. We've heard about a buyout that can stretch over, I think it's 5 years. I'll let you clear all that up. First and foremost, do you think Kevin Love is on this roster next year? And I don't mean like, you know, oh, no, he'll be traded. Just period. Would they buy him out? Is he here next year?
Here's the problem when it comes to Kevin, guys. Like, we can go through all the different options that the Cavs have to move on from Kevin, and I think all parties want to move on from Kevin. I think they know that it would be best for him. I think they know it would be best for them. But the options are just not good. They're probably, if they do go that direction, I think it's 50-50. I don't want to bail out or anything along those lines, but I honestly think it's 50-50. It might be them just taking the worst option that they have and understanding that they're just going to have to swallow it. You know, you can talk about a buyout, but that is in many ways dependent on how much money Kevin's going to give back and how much salary relief the Cavs are going to get. But even if they get some kind of salary relief, it's such a big number that a big number is still going to be on this salary cap, and it's going to affect team-building decisions moving forward. You can talk about wave and stretch, right? You can stretch it over 5 years, so you do $12 million, $12 million, $12 million, $12 million, $12 million. But I know for a fact there are members of the front office that are vehemently against that because they don't want that contract lingering for that long, especially at that kind of number. And then a trade has always been incredibly complicated, guys, because the Cavs are looking at him a certain way and saying this guy can be, emphasis on can be, an asset. He can make things easier on Darius and Colin, and he can space the floor, and he lifts our ceiling offensively. And the numbers back that up. But at the same time, you know, they have to ask questions about whether he's the right guy around these young guys, if he sets a positive example, if his mood swings are going to be way too much to deal with, and if he's going to be somebody that can stay healthy and help them on the court. And the rest of the NBA is saying, no. Like, this guy is old. He has a bad attitude. He has a horribly bloated contract, and he's not the same effective player that he was, you know, when he signed that particular contract. So he's not going to live up to the value of that contract if we trade for him. So teams want the Cavs to essentially salary dump and attach a pick or two or a young ascending player along with Kevin just to do the Cavs a favor. And I don't think the Cavs at this point of the rebuild are really in position where they can start sacrificing assets just to get rid of players. So it's a really, really complicated situation, and none of the options are actually good.
Chris, I was reading today the Cavaliers have an 11.5% chance of getting the number one overall pick in the upcoming draft. Is there a player in this draft that could turn this franchise around?
Oh, God. There's no team in the NBA that needs Cade Cunningham more than the Cavs.
Tell us about Cade Cunningham.
I mean, that's the bottom line. Like, he's exactly what they need. If you could pick anything that the Cavs need in terms of a skill set, you would say a two-way playmaking wing with size. And Cade Cunningham is a two-way playmaking wing with size. It would be a perfect fit for this group. He can go out, he can create for himself, he can create for others. He's got the size to be a multi-positional defender. And you saw what he did throughout the course of his season at Oklahoma State, even against some of the best defenses in the country that were designed to really slow him down, because Oklahoma State wasn't really loaded with talent. He was incredibly efficient in ISO. He can score at all three levels. Like I said, he can get his teammates involved. So to me, like, for them to get the number one pick, that would be a massive – you could say this about a lot of drafts, right? But because of him and what they need, it would be a massive win that I think would then put everything in the proper place when you're talking about role delineation, when you're talking about a hierarchy of a rebuild, and it would finally give the Cavs the thing that they're missing, which is the centerpiece to build around. They have young core players that they can build with, but they do not have the guy that they can build around. I don't think Darius is it. I don't think Colin is it. I don't think Isaac is it. I don't think Jared Allen is it. That's the thing that they're missing. If they got that, I think everything else would come more into focus for a lot of people.
Well, Chris, normally the day after a season ends, especially this one, I would say, man, you know, go take it easy, relax, be with the wife, go play some golf. But I don't think you're going to get that opportunity considering what we're hearing. So I'll just say, hey, enjoy it while you can, and we're going to be looking for the very latest as far as the Cavs. Did a great job all year, and that job is not done, at least not right now, unfortunately. But thanks for the time, buddy.
You got it, guys. It's an incredibly important offseason for the organization, that's for sure.
Thanks, Chris.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.